So, good day everyone, and welcome to our time together Sunday and this Dharma talk. Before I give the talk, I have a couple of announcements. One is that next Sunday after the talk, so this we'll offer a community meeting here on Zoom right afterwards. And it's more of a community meeting for the local people who normally might come in person to IMC. But everyone's welcome to come to the meeting. And the topic of it will be the opening of IMC, the time to open our doors and have programs again is on the horizon, is on in sight, and maybe in August. And so I want to just talk a little bit about the opening and the plans and hear concerns, hear questions, desires that people have in the more local community. And if you're not local, you're certainly very welcome to come, and you're part of this community regardless. And it might be interesting for you to know some of the plans here. And we will we're certainly giving a lot of thought to how to support the widespread community of people who have been participating this last year on Zoom and YouTube, and it's on our minds. The other thing is that in a few weeks, I think around the 10th of, maybe 10th and 11th of July, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, there's a Dharma teacher, a wonderful Vipassana teacher, Gregory Kramer, who is one of the more innovative and brilliant teacher, innovating a lot of the application of the Dharma, of application of mindfulness into the rest of our life outside of meditation. He developed a whole practice called Insight Dialogue to bring mindfulness into talking in our conversations with people. And he's written a book now called, I think, The Whole Path, The Whole Life Practice, or The Whole Life Dharma. I forget exactly the title. But he has a term, The Whole Life. And he explores the Eightfold Path in this book, addressing very well many of the issues, how to live the Dharma in our whole life. And he's offered to come down. He's offered on Zoom for our community to offer a kind of a creative teaching and kind of a retreat over this weekend, at least that weekend in July, where he'll offer teachings and practices on his whole life Dharma approach, and with lots of time during the day to go about your life, your daily life, and to practice with it. And then he'll offer support through the day. And I think the main meetings are in the morning and the late afternoon, and then practicing in your life with it. So I feel very fortunate to have him coming, and I encourage many of you to come if you're interested. And there's more information about it on IMC website, and I believe the easiest place to find it is on the What's New section on the bottom right of the homepage, but also if you look under programs, it's listed there as well. And you have to register for it. Gregory Kramer, The Whole Life Path, or The Whole Life Dharma, or something like that is his book. So, I see it in the chat. There were several happy Father's Day wishes to went out, and certainly to all the fathers, and a few weeks ago we had mothers, and all the parents who listening to us. May you be honored and respected and appreciated for all that you do and have done. This weekend, many of us in the United States are celebrating this new holiday we now have, Juneteenth Day, the 19th of June. And I think it's been already become my favorite holiday in the United States. I kind of liked in principle the idea of 4th of July for being an Independence Day. It seemed like closely related to the Buddhist idea of freedom, but liberation. But Juneteenth Day is much more closely related in my mind to this, and maybe this can be a holiday that we Buddhists in the United States might want to particularly cherish. It's interesting. It's not really the celebration of the particular day that the Emancipation Proclamation, when slaves were in a sense liberated in the United States, but rather represents the day that in Texas, in a particular town in Texas, I think Galveston, where many months after the proclamation was declared, the slaves there learned that they were free. In other words, the locals didn't want to tell them that they were free, and it took that long to discover. So it's kind of the last of the slaves who discovered that they were actually liberated. And so to celebrate this very important milestone in this country, it seems like celebrate, to appreciate, to honor, to remember, seems like a very important thing to do. And the fact that the liberation from slavery is a much bigger liberation than from political control of England, the United States, where lots of the people who were so-called received their independence from England had a lot of freedom, lots of freedom compared to what slaves had. But to have this liberation from slavery, it's a much bigger one. And to appreciate how important it is, and to feel the poignancy or the pain, the fact that the delayed notification of some slaves, and how difficult the freedom from slavery actually was, and how even being freed from slave, there was still kind of the remnants of that oppression continues to this day in the United States, the repercussions of all that. So that leads to the topic for today, which is has a little bit to do with the Buddhist teachings on karma, but I think rather than particularly focus on Buddhism so much, it's actually, I think, a wide-ranging teaching in many religions that sometimes summarized with a little phrase, you reap what you sow. What we do plants seeds that will come to fruition, and those seeds, the quality or the characteristics of those seeds affects the plant that grows and the fruit that comes. And so seeds or activities, the actions that we do that are unwholesome will produce unwholesome fruit. Those which are wholesome produce wholesome fruit. In plenty of places, including in Buddhism, it seemed to be a kind of a fundamental law that this is how things work in this world. And whether it's that fundamental and works all the time this way, it works a lot of times this way, and we see this over and over and over and over again. And in some ways, the tremendous unwholesomeness of slavery, which it says that it used the word unwholesome here, just seems almost, just seems like it's belittling it almost, but the evil of slavery is the actions of the people, 200 years ago, 150 years ago, however long it was, that all these centuries of slavery on this continent, that a tremendous unwholesomeness set in motion a whole series of of fruits, whole series of conditions, whole series of things that are rippling through our societies to this day, that we are the recipients of this bitter fruit that was been of seeds that were planted in this soil, you know, for centuries with slavery. And we're still contending with it and dealing with it in so many different ways. So we have a very clear example of this. And it doesn't necessarily mean that all the fruits that are produced by the seeds that we do are limited to affecting ourselves. Sometimes in the Buddhist karma teaching, the idea is that you will reap the fruit of the seeds that you plant. But I think that I find it very helpful to separate out, you know, it from being so personal, because the effect of what we do spreads out beyond us, and sometimes the impact around us is bigger than the impact we experience in ourselves. But to be the caretakers of the seeds that we plant, to be very careful with what we do, so that what we do is not planting unwholesome seeds, but rather planting wholesome seeds. And it's presented in almost like there's a law that if you do something unwholesome, it will produce unwholesome fruit. If you do something wholesome, it will produce wholesome fruit. Psychologically, we can see that in ourselves, that sometimes we can see that very clearly. And if we do unwholesome things, that certainly it sets up conditions that supports more unwholesomeness. Sometimes if we spend a lot of time being mean, angry, critical, hostile to others, they start to act and behave around us in a way that starts being uncomfortable for us. And that discomfort, that social discomfort, that maybe being ignored or not addressed or something, is painful. And some of this unwholesomeness that people live with in the world is a result of the pain they feel. So much so that sometimes I've heard this kind of karma kind of principle be that if you act out of pain, it produces more pain. If you act out of non-pain or out of happiness, you produce more happiness. And so, one of the cycles, there's a cycles of unwholesomeness where the unwholesomeness produces more unwholesome conditions, and those unwholesome conditions make it easier to act unwholesomely, and that produces more conditions. And so there's this cycle of self-perpetuating unwholesomeness that can go on not only for an individual for a lifetime, but it also gets passed on to generation and generation of people where there's a tremendous, sometimes hostility, anger, even violence in families and kids growing up, that they learn that that's what you do and that's the kind of learned behavior. And they'll grow up to be adults and they continue it. And they pass it on to their children. And we see it that both in oneself, that causing suffering in the world causes conditions for further distress, further pain, further discomfort, and pain is a primary condition why people do things in an unwholesome way, unskillful way. And so Buddhist practice is a practice to interrupt the cycles of unwholesomeness, to not perpetuate that. And it's remarkable that how meditation functions in that. To sit down and meditate and be still and be quiet and just focus on your breath is not such a simple, passive practice when the mind stream has all this momentum of thinking certain ways, attitude certain ways, of anger, hostility, greed, delusion. And it just kind of, you can feel the power of that, the cycles of that kind of thinking sometimes, and those attitudes, those desires, when we sit down to meditate. And then simply to come back to the breathing is an interruption. in that mind stream. And maybe it's an interruption that lasts only a millisecond before we have to do it again, and again we get pulled away. But we're beginning to interrupt the cycles, to stop the cycles, getting off the wheel of this unwholesome actions produce the conditions for further unwholesome conditions. And and so we interrupt it. But we can do better than just interrupting and stopping it. It's also possible to plant the seeds of the wholesome, to plant seeds for happiness, for well-being, for health. And things that are done in a healthy way produce more health, usually. If we plant seeds for happiness, it produces more happiness. The actions that we do, whether it's actions of thought, actions of speech, or actions of our body, that there's a way in which they can produce more of the same. So unwholesomeness produces more unwholesomeness. Wholesomeness produces more wholesomeness. And the challenge here, or what's fascinating, I think, is sometimes we find ourselves that it's easier to do the unwholesome than it is to do the wholesome. It's easier sometimes to be angry than to figure out how to address a situation in a way that's peaceful or kind, that's still effective. It's easier to be short-sighted about the impact we have right now, and anger sometimes is to stop something that we see that we want to, you know, push something away or have an impact right now on something. That is oftentimes the unwholesome behavior is short-sighted. More often than not, I would suggest. Whereas doing the wholesome can feel like a lot more effort and work is needed. It takes a little bit more reflection and thinking and ending the mind streams of unwholesomeness. And so for lazy, it's just sometimes easier just to go ahead and do the unwholesome. If we want to get immediate results, unwholesomeness maybe can do that. But to do the wholesome routes takes a little bit more effort initially. It might take more effort to look for delayed gratification, understanding how to be wise in a wholesome way, in a kind, supportive way, in non-greed, non-hatred. But as we practice, and we start being in touch with non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion inside of us, as a kind of a, almost like a place or a clarity or a purity or an openness or a peacefulness, then it becomes easier and easier to be that way. And we start seeing that to act with unwholesomeness is a kind of instant karma where the unwholesome itself is hurts, ouch. Whereas to act on the wholesome feels good. It's an ah. So here's the principle in very simple language. If we do something that has an ouch in it, it's going to produce more ouch. If we do something that has an ah in it, chances are it'll produce more ah. And so, even though it might take more work initially to do the wholesome, the healthy, that which comes from the best part of who we are, it's a training we're doing. We're beginning to open the door that might be rusted shut. The hinges are rusted and tight. And we're beginning to open it and discovering and opening this door in the heart so that the wholesomeness becomes second nature, or becomes the place that we act on and live on from the world. And we start feeling that this is what's easy to do. The unwholesome is actually more stressful, more difficult in its own way. And so we choose the easy route to live a wholesome ways. So initially it seems like the unwholesome can be easier, but over time the wholesome becomes easier. And the advantage of the wholesome, it doesn't produce the same levels of difficulty in a life. The after effect of wholesomeness, there's no cleanup that has to be done. There's no retribution. There's no people being angry back at us and perpetuating the cycles. Whereas if we do unwholesome, we have to explain ourselves. We have to apologize. We have to defend ourselves. We have to escape. We have to shut down. We have to ignore. It's all this kind of secondary, tertiary behavior that comes out of the unwholesome that doesn't come out of the wholesome. So to live a simpler life, a cleaner life, by tuning into what is wholesome. So this distinction between wholesome and unwholesome is really key to the whole Buddhist practice. And to begin understanding what this means, and more importantly, how to recognize it in ourselves, how to recognize the healthy feeling of the wholesome and the unhealthy feeling of the unwholesome, how to recognize that we're planting seeds, and we want to be careful with the seeds that we plant. And we plant the seeds through our actions. And the quality of our actions is the particular plant that we're planting. So we want to be careful with our actions. And careful means use your capacity for choice to choose what you should do. Don't live a life that doesn't use this tremendous gift that we're given, that we can choose between. We can choose what we do and what we say. Don't live a life that doesn't have the simplest self-reflection of being wise and aware of what we're going to say and do before we do. And this is one of the reasons to practice mindfulness, that the more mindfulness we have, the more there is space in the mind, the more there's almost like a pause in which we can see where the moment of choice is. And if we can see that moment of choice, to choose the wholesome. And if we don't know what the wholesome thing is to do, then it's generally quite wholesome to avoid the unwholesome. That's enough sometimes. You don't have to make it more complicated than that. Or it's wholesome to say, pause and say, I need to think about that. Or can we kind of let it sit for a while as I reflect on this? And can we take a time out so I can just be with myself a little bit before I respond to this difficult conversation we're having? That there are unwholesome responses, there are wholesome responses that don't mean we understand how to be kind or generous or loving, but we know something else. Maybe the choice is to be more mindful, to be more present and really listen more deeply to ourselves and to what's going on around us. But mindfulness, as mindfulness begins to take hold of our life, we begin to have that space where we can see there's more and more choice. And if you see your choice, then you begin exercising your freedom. The freedom to live wholesomely. And you have a certain freedom to live an unwholesome life. However, if you live unwholesomely, you're actually in bondage. You're actually caught in the grip of things like greed and hatred and delusion. And unwholesome is not the place of freedom. It's the opposite. And so to see the place of choice and see where the freedom is to do the wholesome, this is the path of the Dharma. So you might want to carry with you this little nugget of wisdom, little phrase, that what you do, everything you do is planting a seed for a plant that will come to fruition. So if you act in ways, if in acting there's an ouch, chances are you'll produce more ouch. If the way you act has an ah in it, it feels healthy and good, you probably have an ah plant, and the fruit of it will be ah somewhere in the world, maybe for you, or maybe for others. So may this practice that we do in this weekend of the first Juneteenth holiday, national holiday, may this practice that we do help our whole society to interrupt the century-long cycles of violence and hostility and racism that keeps going on. May it stop with our generation. And in doing so, may the wholesome flower, may we plant gardens and gardens and gardens filled with wholesome seeds that supports all of us, our whole society. So, thank you all very much.